Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So said Jesus on that night he was betrayed. We call it Maundy Thursday. We celebrate it during Holy Week leading up to Easter. This is when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. We often call it communion around here. And it's the blessed sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, the new covenant in my blood. What does Jesus mean by that? That's the question I'd like to take on today. That's our theme for this morning. And the first thing I think we need to clear up is this word covenant in itself. It's not a word that you and I use in our everyday vernacular. So what is a covenant? Well, simply put, a covenant refers to the solemn relationship between two parties, okay? Simply put, in its broadest sense, let me say, it can mean something like a contract between two parties. In the broadest usage, it can mean a contract entered by two parties, two equal parties. But in the ancient Near East, a covenant would also refer to a relationship between two unequal parties, like an emperor lord and a subject king. The technical terms that maybe you've read in the Bible or heard in the past at Bible studies or through your reading were suzerain and vassal. I don't know if you've ever heard of those words. So a covenant relationship is between a vassal lord and a suzerain lord and a vassal king. The suzerain is higher and a vassal is lower. So in the wording of the covenant agreement, the superior party, the suzerain lord, would recount to the lesser party, you know, what they've done for them. They rescued the people. They promised to do certain things for them in the future, maybe offering protection from their enemies. And in return, then, the lesser party would promise loyalty and obedience to the superior. So the covenant, then, between these two unequal parties would be sealed with an oath, a solemn pledge. There'd be a ceremony of some type, some kind of a sacred act. There'd perhaps be a covenant meal to seal the deal, if you will. And that was one certain kind of covenant in the ancient world in the Near East. But now as we move on, as you can see on the screen, we move on to the Bible, the concept of covenant takes on some special distinctive characteristics. It's certainly, if you think about this, not a contract between two equal parties. God is God, and we as people are not. And how this people even became his people, even that was not of our own doing. So in biblical covenant language, the Lord God always takes initiative. He always calls people who otherwise would not have known him. God takes people for himself, enters into relationship with them purely out of his grace, purely out of his unmerited favor. Now, think back to the covenant the Lord made between him and Abram. Later, he'd be known as Abraham, right? Well, Abram didn't know God before God came to him. And he didn't have any children at that time to form a nation. But the Lord God still called Abram to himself, and he established a covenant of blessing with Abram. Listen to these words. Go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So then the Lord made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a great nation. Jacob's sons, right, the children of Israel, they left the land of promise when the famine hit it, and they went down into Egypt, and they grew in numbers. And over time, then, the Egyptians saw that, and they enslaved them, and there they were stuck in bondage. But the Lord remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he acted to make good on his promise. What did he do? He sent a deliverer. In the person of Moses. Moses brought the people out of Israel, if you, or out of Egypt, if you remember. When? On the night of the Passover. The angel of death was going throughout the land of Egypt, striking down the firstborn of every home, unless the blood was on the door frame of the house of the sacred lamb slaughtered. So the angel of death passed over the Israelites' homes, and they were spared. And there was a special meal then instituted that same night that this Passover occurred, and it became known as the Passover meal. And from then on, it was observed every year after, so that Israel would remember what the Lord had done on that night in delivering them from the angel of death because of the blood on the door frames of their house, and also to remember the covenant and the delivery out of that bitter bondage that they found themselves in. But there was still the promised land, right? That was part of this covenant. And the Lord was going to bring them up to that land, but first they had to stop at Mount Sinai. And Moses went up to Mount Sinai, where he received from the Lord the way of life of the God of God's people, the chosen people, how they were to live as his chosen people, different from all of the other people of the world. The Ten Commandments is what Moses received, plus the Book of the Covenant, and God gave Israel the way of life at Sinai. Moses told the people all the words that he received from the Lord up on the Mount Sinai, and here's what they said: all the words the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what the people said as Moses shared all the words. So the covenant was sealed with a solemn ceremony. Moses took the blood of a sacrifice oxen and he threw it all over the people standing in front of him. And he said this: behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. And then there was a sacred meal on top of that. Moses and the elders, they went up on Mount Sinai. They ate and they drank with the Lord himself. And this is the covenant at Sinai: all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will be obedient, O Lord. That's what the people of Israel said, but that's not what they did. They were not obedient. They didn't do all that the Lord had spoken. The Lord graciously brought them into the promised land, delivered them from all their foes, but the people were not obedient to the word of the Lord. They broke and didn't keep the Ten Commandments. They worshiped other gods. They didn't treat their neighbor with love and dignity and justice. Time after time after time after time, the Lord sent prophets, right, to call them to repentance. But the people, the priests, and the kings all alike, they resisted God's word and his will, and they departed from the way of righteousness. Israel didn't live up to God's distinctive people of the world that he wanted them to become. They actually became like all the other nations. So it's in that context then, the context of Israel breaking the covenant the Lord had established with her, that the prophet Jeremiah now shows up on the scene, on the screen for you. He says, behold, this is Jeremiah, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant with that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. So the previous covenant, the covenant at Sinai, which the people pledged, if you remember, we'll do all what the word of the Lord has spoken. We'll be obedient to that. The covenant people broke it. Their sins basically made a sham, if you will, of that covenant made on Sinai. So it was time for a new covenant. God did not forget. The days were coming when this new sort of covenant would be initiated. It would be one of forgiveness that would be permanent. It'd be one where the obedience of the people would flow out of their heart now, that the Lord himself would give them. Behold, the days are coming. It's up there on the screen. And then Jesus says, behold, the days are now here. You see how he's picking up on Jeremiah's words here that he speaks on this night in Luke chapter 22, the Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, the night he was betrayed. This is the new covenant that Jeremiah was foretelling. I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth now, okay? This is the new covenant that I am fulfilling, Jesus says. This is the new covenant in my blood, which I'm pouring out now, that's in this cup, and that'll flow from the cross. Don't you see here how Jesus is drawing on all of the covenant history of Israel in this new covenant that he's establishing this night? That's what I want you to see today. The covenant with Abraham, well, Jesus is the seed of Abraham in whom all the families on the earth will be blessed. The covenant with Moses and the people on Mount Sinai, well, Jesus seals the covenant with his blood and then invites us to this sacred meal to eat and drink in his presence. And don't forget that Passover meal either, because Jesus is the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God by whose death passes over us and we share and are brought out of the bondage of sin. And I wrote, wow, that's amazing. Remember, it's the Passover meal that Jesus was celebrating with his disciples on this night that we just read from the lectern in Luke chapter 22. And then at the conclusion of it, Jesus institutes the new meal, communion, the Lord's Supper. And then he tells us to do this in the church from this time on, in which we will share this meal with him once again. When? When he comes to take you home. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after he had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Yes, this is the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Because all the bulls, all the oxens, all the goats that were slaughtered in the Old Testament could not redeem a single soul. What that was doing was pointing ahead to the way of God that Jesus Christ would fulfill in his shedding of the blood on the altar of the cross. It's Christ's blood, the blood that he shed on the cross for you, the holy, precious blood of the very Son of God. This blood cleanses you from all your sins. This blood redeems you from the curse of sin and death, and that's why Jesus came, to do this for you and for me and for all people. It's something that we cannot, that no one can do for themselves. This is the new covenant, in which forgiveness of sins is won and obtained by the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, in which his very body and blood, that which brings forgiveness, is distributed to you in this holy meal, which you will partake in just a moment. And remember, where there is forgiveness, there is life and salvation. You are cleansed by Christ's blood. You are made new in him. You and I are God's holy people now. There's no doubt about it. But he gives us the Spirit so that our obedience will proceed from a new and willing heart. He does it all, you see. And love and forgiveness, dear friends, as we journey in this life, it'll be the mark of our way of life as God's people. Drawn by the power of God's grace toward us, worship and loyalty and faithfulness to God will mark our path as we walk in this world as well. God promises his new covenant of blessing. He gives us hope to carry on in the midst of all of our struggles, all of our adversities. This meal, the Lord's Supper, communion, the Blessed Sacrament, will refresh your soul for the journey on. And finally, on the day when Christ returns, we will enter into his presence in the fullness of the kingdom. And what will we do? We'll eat and drink in that heavenly banquet hall forever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, today we celebrate this All Saints Sunday with the saints that have made victory in this earth by the Lamb of God who shed his blood. Because of God's self-giving love, the tombstone, dear friends, it has no power over you. Life eternal in Christ is yours now, this day, as saints, redeemed people by the Lamb. You go from death to life in this broken world, but it will not break you. Wednesday at Gus Krueger's funeral, we talked about how death is swallowed up in victory. Dear friends, I repeat that to you this day as well. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus tells you once again. In fact, Jesus tells us once again here who he is. The question that we've been exploring this fall as well. So let me conclude by asking, who is Jesus? Let me tell you. Jesus is the new covenant, the ultimate sacrifice, who loves and forgives us, giving us means of his grace. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the means of his grace, the body and blood, the bread and wine you are about to receive. Amen.